Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
to your place. We've invited people to share their music with us, and the song that you just heard was provided to us from the United Kingdom. Yes, God is moving in the UK. Thanks so much for sharing the song that you wrote and sang. And we have put out the invitation for preachers and teachers of the Bible to share something they have on their heart for our audience. We were contacted by Brother Jared Raines, who is a licensed minister with United Pentecostal Church International and the president and founder of Upper Room Crusade, an evangelically minded organization. URC's desire is to see the masses come to know the truth of Jesus Christ and experience the life-changing power of the Holy Ghost through community outreach initiatives as well as revival-type crusades. The website for URC is www.upperroomcrusades.org. Brother Jared is married and resides in Texas City, Texas, with his newborn son, Kingston. Congratulations, Brother Jared. For more information, you can contact Brother Jared on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Jared, J-A-R-R-Y-D, dot Raines, R-A-Y-N-E-S. As with all of our shows, we will open up the show at the end for comments or questions. And now, we'll introduce our speaker, Brother Jared Raines. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm doing well. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, and it's so good to have you. We're so excited what you have to bring with us tonight.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. It is indeed a privilege. I appreciate it very much.
Well, and on behalf- with that being said, I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
Okay, the floor is yours.
All right. Thank you very much. And once again, I sincerely appreciate the opportunity to deliver a word this evening. I know that each of us are, there's absolutely no telling where we all are, you know, with the internet being just worldwide. And I just pray that this message will find you wherever you are this evening and that it will speak to your heart and your mind and encourage you tonight. I definitely give honor to the leadership of this program, Brother and Sister Mullinex, and the work that they do for the kingdom of God. And I'm 100% behind individuals who are wise enough to utilize different technologies and different methods to still preach the same original message. You know, the problem we sometimes encounter are those who want to change the message while they're using different methods. But I'm thankful for people that still hold true to the apostolic message and aren't afraid to try different methods. And definitely an internet radio broadcast is something that the far-reaching effects are should definitely yield fruit. There's profit in all labor, so we want to definitely pray for them and continue to ask God to bless their ministry. So I give them honor tonight. On behalf of the entire Upper Room Crusades organization, let me once again convey what the deep appreciation we have for this opportunity, and definitely appreciate the introduction. It reminded me of a funny story. There was a lady and her husband had been married for some time, and the husband ended up passing away. And during his funeral, you know, the widow and her two sons were in the front pew of the church, and the minister was there, you know, and he was standing saying all these nice things about her husband, and he continued to say them on and on again, and continued to just give him praise and, you know, saying how great of a guy he was. And the lady ended up nudging one of her sons and said, "Why don't you go up there to make sure that's your daddy in that casket?" So I feel privileged for all the very nice things that was said about me earlier. That's certainly undeserving because I'm nothing without the Lord. You know, I've made plenty of mistakes in my life, and I've done things that are beneath the way a child of God should act. I'm thankful for his mercy and his grace. I'm thankful that his love still, that he still loves us despite ourselves sometimes, and his blood still flows and can cover a multitude of sins. So we just, on behalf of the organization, we just appreciate this opportunity. And for those who are socially minded, feel free to try to connect with Upper Room Crusades at Facebook, Twitter. We have an Instagram and a YouTube as well, so definitely feel free to connect with us. We would love to get to know each of you better. We have a desire to see revival worldwide, and we want to hear about all the great things that God's doing in your different communities and your different areas. I guess our motto at Upper Room Crusades, one of our slogans is, join the revivolution. And by joining the revivolution, we want to just see the revival sweep across this country and this world, and that the fire of Pentecost would just catch us on fire at a new level, at a new temperature that we haven't experienced before, and to have the influx of people come in to know Jesus like he wants us all to know him in this final hour that we're so fortunate to live. So we just sincerely, once again, I cannot convey my appreciation enough. I also recognize my pastor this evening, Pastor Thomas Custer, and my bishop, L.M. Jean of the Pentecostals of Santa Fe in Santa Fe, Texas, and I submit myself to their authority as well as the Molinexus tonight, because I want God's will to be done on this program, and I just desire to see the work that he wants all of us to do to grow and to flourish, because we can't do it alone. We sometimes think we can. We sometimes get a me mentality, but I'm thankful I'm part of the body. And if the body is doing great, that means that each of the individual parts are doing their part to make the body progress and to do what it's supposed to do. So this evening, if I could just direct your attention, and this will be a relatively new experience for me. I'm used to preaching it hard and preaching it fast, and I usually get a little wound up. And I'm not going to guarantee that's not going to happen this evening. But I don't have any. I won't hear if anybody's saying amen. But I'm just going to assume y'all are. And I'm not going to assume there's ever those cricket moments when any preacher gets up there. And sometimes our jokes or cliches are hopefully not our main point. It goes over like a lead balloon. But if I could direct your attention to the Gospel of Luke this evening, Luke 5, verses 1 through 7. Luke 5, 1 through 7. While you're turning there, our iPad and our iPhone and our anything like that there, I'd like to also convey my deep appreciation for my wife, Leslie, and our newborn baby boy, Kingston, that's already been mentioned. He is 10 weeks and 2 days old, so I remember what sleep used to be like, barely. My wife, I don't know if she actually remembers what it's like anymore, but just pray that God will help our little bundle of joy start getting more rest so we can get some rest. Mainly my wife, because I will not say that she doesn't take great care of him, because she certainly does, and she's up there all hours of the night taking care of that little man. So I love and appreciate her this evening. Luke 5, 1 through 7, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, and him is Jesus in this case, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now, there are different ways to pronounce this word, apparently, and I know that I'm from Texas, and I might not pronounce it exactly how you pronounce it, so bear with me, and please forgive me. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, saying unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Now, I'm going to preach a little bit different tonight than what you may have heard before, if I can refrain from getting tongue-tied like I did on a little bit of that King James Version, which, on a side note, my son's name is Kingston, and his middle name is James, so I say that King James is living at my house now, so I should be able to enunciate that version of the Bible more clearly. But we all get twisted up occasionally. But like I said, I'm going to preach maybe a little different than what you've heard before, but if you give me a little wiggle room and a little leeway tonight, I want to talk to you on this thought. It's positioning yourself for a partial blessing. Positioning yourself for a partial blessing. And I don't know where you are this evening, but I just ask for just a moment if you could just join with me in prayer and ask God's hand to be upon the remainder of this message, that he would speak to each of us, talk to our hearts and our minds, and give us that word that we so desperately need. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for another opportunity, Lord, another chance to hear your word. God, we can't do anything without you, but we know, God, that through you we can do all things. Lord, we understand, God, that you are great and mighty and mightily to be praised, and our heart's desire is to truly know you and experience you in everything that you have for us. God, our desire is not to know you in a partial manner or just a piece, but our desire is to truly know you and to experience the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Lord, I pray for each one of these people that are listening to these words tonight, God, that they would not hear my voice, but that I would remove myself, God, and get out of your way, that you could speak, God. For you, when you speak, God, and when your words go forth, they will not come back void, God. Your word is powerful. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, God. And, Lord, we desire to hear your voice tonight and that you would talk to us, Lord, and speak to each of us individually, God. And we pray it all in the only name under heaven whereby we must be saved, the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, you may be seated. Now, if you wasn't standing up, you can still remain seated, and that will be fine this evening. In our text, we see Simon Peter, the one who would become one of the most beloved, entrusted, and mightily used disciples, working at his pre-calling day job. Peter was a fisherman along with his brother Andrew and James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And they were all partners in the fishing trade, and they worked together. They helped each other. They caught fish, they sold fish, and they fixed the ship. They patched it up. They fixed the holes in the side. They cleaned the deck. They checked the sails and the oars. They ensured the ships were intact. You know, these ships and the fishing equipment on them had to be in tip-top shape because their livelihood, their income, their family's income depended on the source of food and the monetary benefit that their calling as fishermen provided. And fishing was a very necessary, and it could be a very profitable business, especially in biblical times. Now, I'm not exactly sure if they had to have fishing license, but that reminds me of this story. There was a fella who was fishing at a pretty well-known little hidden fishing spot, and he was stopped by a game warden. And the game warden asked the man, you know, sir, do you have a license to catch these fish? And the man replied to the game warden, you know, no, sir, these are my pet fish. And the game warden gave him a kind of startled look and said, what, you know, pet fish, what are you talking about? And the gentleman said, well, yes, sir, every night I take these fish here down to the lake and I let them swim around for a while. And I just whistle and they jump back in these buckets and I take them home. Now, the game warden wasn't too, he didn't really believe this fella too much and said, there ain't no way that fish can do that. And the man got, he looked at the game warden and said, listen here, I'll show you how it works. Come on down here. And the game warden said, well, I've got to see this. So they went down to the edge of the lake, and the man poured the fish in there, and they stood there and waited for a few minutes. And after a few more minutes, the game warden turned to the man and said, well? And the man said, well, what? And the game warden said, well, when are you going to call them back? The man said, who? Call who back? And the man said, and the game warden said, the fish. And the man said, what fish? I got a feeling he didn't have a fishing license. Lord help them both. I don't figure that game warden probably filed a report about that either. But seriously, I'm not sure what type of fishing requirements they had to have, fishing license requirements they had to have. But the Sea of Galilee, another name for the Lake of Gennesaret, is pretty renowned from its fishing for its fishing from ancient times. There are 18 different species that are indigenous to the lake. Now, there's different methods that were used to catch fish. You know, some fishermen use the tried and true method of catching fish with their bare hands. Anybody on the line from Louisiana will probably give me a witness on this, but they were the noodlers, amen? And if you don't know what noodling is, oh my goodness, look it up on YouTube, and you might never get in the water again. Those guys are crazy, and that's some pretty wild stuff, and something I definitely don't want to be involved with. Other folks used woven baskets. Others use the hooks and lines or even traps, sometimes ropes or spears, and other ones did arrow fishing. But without a doubt, the most popular method of fishing was with nets. But even within this category, there were several different types of nets. The drag net is the oldest type. The netting was shaped like a long wall that was 300 foot long and 12 feet high. The bottom of the net had weights with sinkers, and the top rope had cork floats, and the net was folded. A team of up to 16 men held the strong rope attached to the drag net. Then the boat sailed out with another team until the net was fully stretched, and then circled around and back to shore. Here, the second team would jump off and hold the ropes, and both teams would drag the net and its contents, which hopefully were a large number of fish, back to the shore. And this method enabled one to catch the fish who were hiding out at the bottom of the lake. And when they were back on shore, the fish were handed over to be sorted, and this operation could be performed over and over again throughout the day, as many as about 8 times in one day. So you had a lot of opportunities to catch a lot of fish. Another type of net was the cast net, and that's about a net that's about 20 feet in diameter with weights of lead attached to the border. And one man usually flings this net in a round circle from the shore, but it also can be done from boats. And it required great skill since it had to open completely when it landed on the water, trapping the fish underneath it. The weights came together as the net sinks and encircles the fish. And sometimes the fishermen on a boat had to jump into the water to retrieve the net. And if anybody out there has ever tried to throw a cast net, like I have, and been unsuccessful, you'll understand and appreciate the fact that a 20-foot cast net's pretty big and pretty difficult to throw. I think one of the ones I've had the most success with is maybe a 6-foot cast net, and that still takes practice to get where you can throw that consistently well. The third method and the third type of net would be the trammel net. And this net's actually composed and comprised of three individual nets, two large mesh walls about 5 feet high with a finer net in between. The boat went out into deep waters where there were no rocks so that the nets would not be torn, and it usually was done at night. One end of the net was let down into the sea, then the boat made a circle creating a sort of tub in the water. The net gathered in every kind of fish as they were unable to escape through the three layers of netting. When the fish were brought to shore, they had to be pulled and taken from the nets, extracted, and this took time and skill. And these nets were spread out on the rocks to be dried and to be mended. Only in emergency situations were they mended on boats themselves. And in Matthew's Gospel 4:21, we find James and John mending their net in a boat. And we find out just a short little while after that, they abandoned this activity to follow Jesus. So whether it was an emergency or not, they said, I'm ready to follow the master. And they left their father with the hired men, and they followed Jesus. So fishing was, I'm saying all that to say, fishing was an honorable trade. You know, fishing required you to know what you were doing. Fishermen were generally fairly intelligent, even business-savvy men. You know, most had to control the different, every aspect of their business. They had to hire help. They had to keep their ships afloat. They had to sell their catch. It would have been most beneficial for fishermen in that region of the world to know and to be able to understand and communicate effectively in four different languages: Aramaic, Greek, Hebrew, and even on occasionally Latin. By knowing all four of these languages, they should be able to interact with almost anyone that they would meet, and they should be able to meet all of their customers' needs. The fishermen Jesus chose may have very well indeed been ignorant and unlearned in the ways of Jewish law. However, they did have to be some pretty sound, business-savvy, smart individuals. Let's redirect our attention back at our original text tonight with some of this background information. Jesus came along and was trying to teach a large multitude of people, and he saw two ships on the edge of the lake, and the fishermen were out cleaning their nets. Jesus came up to Simon Peter and asked him, "Hey, bud, let this boat out a little way and let me teach the people." That's not the King James Version. That's the Jared Raines Version. And I'm not, certainly not being blasphemous. I'm, you know, trying to get us to understand that the significance of what Jesus did. He went there to Simon Peter, and Simon agreed, which shows that Simon Peter had some type of relationship with Jesus already, even just a small one. And Jesus began to teach this group, and he turned to Simon afterwards. And in my mind's eye, I see Jesus with a large smile on his face, and he looks at Simon and says, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets. You're going to catch a load of fish." And Simon responds with this: "Master, we have toiled all the night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And I can almost hear the frustration in Simon Peter's voice right here. I mean, Simon Peter was a professional fisherman. He made his living this way. He had enough respect to call Jesus master, but I really don't think Simon expected much to happen. I mean, master, I've been fishing all night. I've been fishing with that trammel net, you know, that one with three nets, the super net, the one that you're supposed to use at night. I mean, master, nothing is supposed to get through these nets. But I've been fishing all night, and I haven't caught a single fish. Nothing. Not any of the 18 different types of fish in this lake. We haven't caught anything. Anybody out there ever went fishing and not caught anything? I go casting sometimes. I don't even think you can call it fishing what I do. I am a very unsuccessful fisherman. And I pray when I'm out there too, Lord. I know you said that we're supposed to be fishers of men, but I'd like to be a fisher of some fish right now. Could you help me catch some? And I catch some occasionally. I don't go very often, but I'm not a professional fisherman, though. You know, my livelihood is not based on catching fish. So when I go out and I don't catch any, while it's still frustrating, my wife, my son, and I still have food on our table. We still have a roof over our head. We still have clothes on our back because I'm not a professional fisherman. So Simon Peter was a professional fisherman. So his livelihood did depend on catching fish. And to go spend an entire night and come back with empty nets means no money in his pocket. That means he comes home and Miss Simon Peter might not be too happy with him when he gets there. They might have a conversation about why he didn't catch any fish. Well, honey, they just wasn't biting. They weren't getting in my net. I'm telling you, Simon made his living off fishing. That's what he knew to do. And I'm sure he tried everything within his means that night to catch fish. So I tell you, I can almost hear and I can really actually understand Simon's frustration. And most of us, and myself included, read the next part of the scripture and we get excited and we get worked up and we get really happy because Simon, even though he was frustrated and upset, he said, "Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net." And the text goes on to say, "And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink." Wow. That's awesome. That's amazing. And we love that. We love the fact that Jesus gave them a miracle and a huge number of fish. So many that the boat started to sink. They didn't sink, church. And I know the Lord wasn't going to let them sink, but they started to sink. But I want to speak to some people tonight and show you a new thought and a new outlook. And I won't call it a new revelation on this scripture because I think it's a new illumination. It's been illuminated a different way to us tonight. But I'm telling you that Simon Peter sold himself short and didn't give Jesus his due and didn't allow God to do what he truly wanted to do. Simon put himself in a position for just a partial blessing. And that's what the title of this message is tonight, positioning yourself for a partial blessing. Y'all stay with me. Jesus told Simon to do two things after he finished teaching. The first was to launch out into the deep, and the second was to let down your nets with an S. And Simon Peter didn't do either of these things. Simon, in his frustrated state, said, "Well, Master, we have fished all night and haven't caught a stinking thing, and I'm tired, and I'm upset, and I'm frustrated, but nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net, no less." Simon didn't move into the deep, and Simon let down just one single net. When Jesus told him to let down his nets for a draught, for a ton of fish, let down his nets to catch fish, Simon stayed exactly where he was at. "I'm deep enough. I don't need to go any further. I'm a professional fisherman. I'll just sit right here and not really move. And if he wants me to cast out nets, whatever. I'm just going to drop this single net in the water right here because I don't really plan on catching anything anyway. I'm the fisherman in this equation. This carpenter is going to come tell me how to catch fish. I don't come tell him how to make and build tables and chairs." You see what I'm saying? I hope you're staying with me. I'm telling you, Simon Peter knew his profession. And Simon respected what the Lord told him because he did do something. But he didn't move. And the fact is, he truly didn't obey God. Simon positioned himself for a partial blessing. We look at the great multitude of fish. We see that Simon had to call the other ship to help. And we see that as a huge blessing, and I'm not taking away from it. But can I be honest with you this evening and tell you, I don't think that Simon Peter came close to receiving nearly the blessing that God had in store for him. Jesus said, "Launch out into the deep and to let down your nets." Simon could have called the other ship. He could have called every other ship in that lake. He could have grabbed every net that they had. He could have called friends and asked them to bring nets to him. He could have done everything he could have to grab every net that he could have to take in on this ship when they went out into the deep so he could let down more than one net, where he could truly let down nets. And I believe without a doubt that every net he dropped in the water would have been full of fish. That his blessing would have been even greater than he received if he would have truly had faith and believed what God said to do. But Simon settled for just a partial blessing. Let that sink in for a second. Just a partial blessing. Simon had the attention of Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh. Simon had his attention, and he was ready to bless Simon, and he did bless Simon. But Simon shortchanged himself. And I'm here to tell each of you tonight that for far too long the church has been settling for partial blessings. And if we're ever going to have this revival, this great end-time harvest that the Bible speaks about, it's going to take some people with a made-up mind that are tired of the status quo, that are going to lock out into the deep, and they're going to let down their nets. We got too many people in too many churches. And please, I'm not speaking ill of anyone. I'm speaking across the board that are absolutely content with staying where they are. and doing exactly what they feel like doing, and just half-heartedly, excuse me, casting out a single net. And while God is certainly good and faithful, and he blesses, and we understand that all good things come from above, and we're thankful for these blessings, just as Simon was assuredly thankful for that blessing. But the fact and the truth is, most people have not begun to crack the surface of the depths of God and haven't begun to see the revival that God wants us to have. But we have to be willing to not just put ourselves in position for a partial blessing. We have to be willing to lay it all on the line. We've got to be willing to launch out into the deep, out as many nets as we can. I know this may be weird for some of you. This may be strange for some of you. But I want you to say this right now. I want you to say, I'm tired of a partial blessing. Say it again. I'm tired of a partial blessing. If whoever didn't say it, go ahead and say it. There's power in the spoken word. And I want God to know that I'm serious. I appreciate the many blessings he's given me. I wouldn't be here without the blessings of God. My life would be in shambles without his hand upon it. But when I've got God's attention and God is ready to bless and God is ready to deliver and God is ready to restore and God is ready to give direction, I don't just want to settle for a drop. I want the waterfall. I want the rain of the Holy Ghost to fall down on my life that I can truly be quenched by the power, truly be drenched by the power of God and not quench his spirit in my life. I'm tired of a partial blessing. I'm ready to cast my nets out. I don't know what your Sea of Galilee is. I don't know what areas that God has been speaking to you about casting your nets out. Maybe you have a Spanish population in your city that's being unreached right now. Cast out your net. Maybe your church is not as ethnically diverse as you would like it to be. And that can be any ethnicity. Cast your net out into the African American community. Cast your net out into the Caucasian community. Poor people need Jesus just as much as rich people need Jesus. Old people need Jesus. Young people need Jesus. Backsliders need Jesus, amen? We've got to cast out our nets instead of dropping a net just outside the edge of the boat. Cast out your net. Matthew 13, 47 and 48, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. If you're scared to cast out your nets for the bad fish you might catch every once in a while, stop worrying about it. Stop worrying about it. Because some of the people that you catch that you might not think are the best ones right off, God might use some of them for the greatest revival this world's ever seen. But as long as you stay faithful, stay prayed up, God will give you that spirit of discernment to understand if there's some wolves out there among the sheep. But we can't just refuse to cast out our nets in a particular group because of a bad fish or two. Because the fact of the matter is, even if you were born on a church pew, even if you can trace your Pentecost back to the day of Pentecost, and Peter's your great, 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 100 times great grandpa, Without the grace and the mercy and the goodness and the love of God, we would be lost. There would be no hope. But I'm thankful for people that cast out their net, for people that wouldn't settle for a partial blessing. I'm thankful for people that love people and help people and embrace people despite their circumstances. But we've got to cast out our nets, church. Now, I am a licensed minister with the United Pentecostal Church International. It's already been mentioned. And I certainly do not think that the UPCI or any organization for that matter has the monopoly on truth. I don't think it's UPCI or hell, and I don't think it's fill in the blank organization or hell. I think that these organizations and these vehicles of revival that God uses, I think we can all work together and even be in different organizations and still be part of the kingdom of God. And if you're not part of an organization, I love you just as much. I've preached for different people of different religious, or not different, not religious affiliations, but different organizational affiliations. So I'm going to give you the statistic, and it will certainly be skewed some, but I want you to listen to it. And I couldn't find any newer statistics than this, but in 2011, the UPCI, a little over 9,000 licensed ministers in both the United States and Canada. 9,000, over 9,000. And if each of those ministers pastored a 1,000-member church, and granted, each one of these ministers are not pastors, they're evangelists, they're youth pastors, they're teachers. I'd even go so far as to say there's prophets and apostles still out there in the world today. Some of these are just preachers, so they're not pastoring a flock. But say they were. Say these 9,000 people all pastored a 1,000-member church. There would be 9 million people attending a UPCI church in the United States or Canada. And we'd shout, honey, we'd shout, woo! We would shout, shout, shout. We'd have church. We'd be doing backflips, cartwheels, dancing, leaping, and I'm all for that. I love worshiping. Anybody that knows me knows that I love to worship. But if each one of these people had a 1,000-member church, they were financially secure beyond belief. They could live in houses, have cars better than any of them probably have ever had before. We'd have 9 million people attending a UPCI church in the United States and Canada. That, though, is there 350 million people in the United States and Canada. We'd have just about 2.6% of the entire population of the United States and Canada. And like I said earlier, these numbers are going to be skewed because I'm looking at this, the UPCI, as a specific organization because I knew I could probably find these numbers. So obviously there are others who are preaching the apostolic message. But just think about this. We would shout and have church and be so excited if 98% of the people in the United States and Canada were going to hell. It's hard to get excited about that. It's hard to get excited, you know, when 2% of the people are going to a church that we know is preaching it, that they've been born again, repented, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Spirit. And 98% of people don't know this truth, don't know what it takes to truly be born again. And I keep saying it because I don't want anybody to get upset. You other ministers, you other great men of God that's doing it, doing it for the kingdom, preaching it, I know we wouldn't have 98% because of the work that the independents and the other organizations do. But I'm saying this number should startle all of us. Put your organization's numbers in here and see if you're excited. 1,000-person church, more blessings than you can imagine. More problems than you probably imagine, too. 100-person church will give you problems. 1,000-person church will hopefully won't give you a stroke. You'd have to stay super prayed up with that type of responsibility. But I'm talking 98% of the people wouldn't know what we know, and we'd have 2% of the population, over 2% of the population, and we'd be excited. I'm enough to think that that's not the type of revival God's wanting to have in this final hour. I've got enough faith to believe that God is not content with 2.5, 2.6% of the population making it and the rest of them not. I think the revival that God has in store, we can't even fathom what he wants to do. But we think the revival that he wants to have is the type of revival we've already had before, we've already experienced in our churches before, because that's our normal. Follow me. And I heard this the other day, and it was good, and I made a mental note of it. No matter what your upbringing was, if you lived in a three-bedroom, two-bath house with two parents, you know, a brother and a sister and you, and y'all had a dog and a white picket fence, and you were friends with your neighbors, and you didn't have problems, and you grew up, that is going to be your normal life. That is going to be how you view life that's your life's baseline. That's your normal. If you grew up in a home where your mom and dad fought all the time, where your dad physically abused you, your siblings, your mom, y'all, there was drugs and drinking and things like that, when you grow up, that is going to be your baseline for normal. That doesn't mean it was right, and that doesn't mean it's normal in society, but that means you specifically will view that as normal. And that's where we get people, it's just a cycle of abuse that constantly, continually happens. Because this is the way it's always been. This is the way it's always been. This is the way it's always been. Grandpa was a drunk. Daddy was a drunk. I got to be a drunk. Can I tell you tonight that if you've been baptized in the name of Jesus, you've been filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues, you got the power and the authority to speak to that thing and to be done with that version of normal in your life. Your normal can be the white picket fence, the great life, living it for God. Doesn't mean you're not going to have problems, but you can change it through the power of the Holy Ghost. And in church, we've got a normal. We've got a baseline that the church has come up with, individual churches. We have revival for 3 days, and that's a normal revival. And I'm very much okay with that. I appreciate churches that are still having revivals. I've had the privilege to preach some of those revivals. But I hear some of the old-timers, and I say that respectfully, some of my elders, talk about revivals that went on for months at a time. That's their baseline of normal. We have a different baseline of normal. And I think our eyes have had scales put on them, not by God, but by our own selves, that we see just a small blessing. Just we see those those fish in those nets where our boats are sinking. And we think that's exactly what God wants. That is as much as God wants for us. When God is just, I think he's sitting back saying, yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy when anybody comes to know me. I'm happy when anyone experiences my spirit. The Bible talks about and says that heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. So I'm not taking away from any one or two people that get the Holy Ghost or get baptized in your service a week, a month, whatever it is. But I think God's position in his church, so we can have Day of Pentecost, Book of Acts, revival, 3,000 people converted in a single day, 5,000 people baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. And I know different churches around the world are experiencing things like that. But I think America is getting ripe for revival. This country is heading in directions that are away from God. I think that's not a profound statement. That is a very factual, fact-based observation. And as the world gets darker, the church is going to shine brighter and brighter. And people are really going to see that there is something that these Pentecostals have talked about for so long, that they've said that you need to have the Holy Ghost, you need to be baptized. And they're going to say, I don't know what it is, but I'm tired of this life that I'm living. I'm tired of these things that have tried to bind me up and destroy me. I'm tired of these things that have come against my family. I want to be free. I want to be free. And the church has to be ready to throw out her nets. Throw out her nets for every single person. Every black, white, brown, yellow. God isn't a God of, he's not a respecter of persons. We've got to be willing to reach out to everybody we come into contact with. But that's not going to happen if we just position ourselves for partial blessings and we think that's truly what God wants for us. Think about if any of you out there have lost children that you can't reach. You've tried to reach them for so long. Your words fall on their ears, and it isn't like it's the voice of God or direction or a word from the Lord. It's, that's my mama talking. That's my mama wanting me to go to church. That's my daddy telling me I need to get right. Well, what if there's a church close to where your lost kids live? If that church is just willing to cast out their nets. So we've been doing this for so long, we need to launch out into the deep. We need to try to start trying to have an outreach program. Hey, let's have a nursing home service. Let's have a community-minded service where we can reach out to prodigal sons and daughters. Let's cast out their nets. You'd want that church to do anything in its power to reach everybody. Well, I'm telling you tonight, right now, that there are people who have prayed for their children, and their children live in your neighborhood where your church is at. And that you can be an answer to their prayers if you start casting out those nets and not just dropping a net right outside the boat. Launch out into the deep and cast your nets. In 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 7, we find a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. And she spoke to Elisha, and she said, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And the prophet told her to go and borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even the empty ones, and borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and open and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. Jesus. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. This woman grabbed every vessel she could. She asked her sons to go out and grab more, to go out until her son said, there isn't any more, Mom. We've got everything we could find. This woman didn't want a partial blessing. She wanted everything she could get. And oil is symbolic of the Holy Ghost throughout Scripture. And I want all the Holy Ghost I can get, church. I want all the power of God that I can have in my life, church. I want to experience everything that God has for me. And Lord, I want to bring you every vessel I can find, and I want to throw out every net that I have and every net that I can get a hold of. And I want to launch out into the deep. Because, God, I do not want to have a partial blessing. I do not want to position myself for a partial blessing. I want to position myself, perfect will of God, where when he blesses, it blows our mind beyond belief to truly see the type of revival that God wants us to have in this final hour. Wherever you are right now, I know some of you have thought about different ministries to start, different things to do for the kingdom. Certainly, if you're a pastor, you know, I would encourage you to do those things. And if you're a saint in a church, you're not the pastor, I would encourage you to speak to your pastor about different ideas that you have. Because your pastor needs help. Even if he's the greatest pastor in the world, he still needs help. He still needs people that's willing to throw out nets with him. There are people that you can reach that your pastor might not be able to reach. Your testimony can reach people that your pastor's testimony can't reach. But if we all take our nets and toss them out, the revival that's in store is greater than anything we can imagine. The former and the latter rain together. And I'm not talking about the weather. I want that Holy Ghost rain to fall down on us. And I want the revival that we see in other countries to be here in this great country of ours. Hallelujah. Can we just pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity. We give you all the glory and all the honor. Lord, I am nothing without you. God, I cannot function even without you. I can't even walk, Jesus, without you holding my hand. And God, I've failed you more times than I can count. I've made mistakes more times than I can remember. And I'm thankful that your love is still extended to me. But God, I don't want to sit back in this final hour and not do everything within my power to advance your kingdom. Because I know, God, when I do what I can do, you'll do what you can do. And, God, when we cast out the nets, you're the one who brings in the fish, God. So, Lord, we pray tonight for each one of these people that's hearing this, that you would speak to their hearts and speak to their minds, God, and give them new direction, new wisdom, new understanding. I pray, God, right now that you would bless their ministries, bless their homes, bless their families, bless their finances, God. Give them everything that they need, God, to be successful for the work that you called them to do. And, God, I pray that we would launch out into the deep like never before, and we would let down our nets, because I know that our boat's not going to sink. I know that we're not going to sink, God. Lord, we give you the praise and we give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Well, Brother Jared, that was an awesome message, and we do so appreciate you doing this for us, and we pray that this was a blessing to you also. And
well, yes,
congratulations,
yes,
again on your baby.
Well, thank you very much. I do sincerely appreciate the opportunity to minister anywhere and everywhere I can, and thank you very much for the kind words about my little boy. I love him so much.
Oh,
can't imagine
I know your life
without him.
Totally changed. Yes. Yes, very
much.
Yes, blessed.
Ma'am. In the best way possible.
Yes. Well, we have Wild Bill with us.
Okay.
Well, hello, Brother Jared. I really enjoyed that message. And for those that's never done this, it's really hard to sit in front of a telephone with nobody there to see what the response is from the people and do what he just did. If you don't think it is, you have to try this sometimes. There's still times that when I call into the radio show that I get the jitters just a little bit in the bottom of my stomach thinking, oh, man, because I'm seeing how much outreach we're starting to gain with this program. So you did an excellent job, brother. I want to appreciate that. And it was very timely because, and I'm not wanting to add anything to your message, but that's been really coming into my life, you know, here the last few weeks is anticipation. You know, Peter have any anticipation when he threw that net. And how many times do we go into a church service and we think about, well, I got to do my part for song service, or I got to take prayer requests, or I got to be an usher, or maybe I got to teach a Sunday school class, and we tie into going through the motions, so to speak, on the tasks. They're good tasks. They're good jobs. They're things that we're all called to do. But it's one of those things that if we just go through the motions, because we like to lock in on the words revival, and we like to think about lost souls and those sort of things. But, you know, with Father's Day just being passed, it's like the Lord just really spoke to me about the scripture where he said, if your father, your parents, they want to give you good gifts, if they're willing to do these things, how much more do I want to do for you? If we go go through the motions and we have anticipation, God wants to help us with health issues. He wants to help us with finances. He wants to do restoration where Satan has stolen things in our life when we weren't living for God. We hear about Peter walking along and people healed in his shadow. We think, wow, that was great. But God wants to do those things today. If we can just get a spirit of anticipation to understand that God wants to do more than we can even think or ask. That's just so big. I can't comprehend that because I've got a huge imagination. He wants to do more than I can think or ask. And if we could just get it in our little peanut to not go through the motions, to understand Jesus had told us on this, get excited about it, man. Get every niche. Hey, can I borrow some nets? You know, got enough. You know, let's put it all together. Let's stretch out into some unknown areas, something out of our comfort zone, with an anticipation that God is going to be God, and he's not going to let us down. He's not going to fail. He's going to do abundantly more than we can think or ask. He wants there to be a great revival. He wants your children to be saved. He wants you to not have financial difficulties in your home. He don't want you to have confusion in your home. He could restore things that Satan has came in and lost. He wants to do all these things beyond what we even can think. When we think about, we'd like to have revival in our church and people coming in, you know what draws people? Power. When people come in and lives are changed, when they come in and they're sick and they got cancer and God heals them,
trust me,
they're not going to worry about if they come in and they got cancer and they're healed, pain of salvation is the next they're going to be looking for. They're going to have an appreciation for the things that's going there. When they walk in and they feel the power of God and they see people responding with anticipation, throwing out their nets and saying, I want more. I want more. I want that deeper water, as you were talking about. God is going to do his part, folks. But it's time.
Amen.
If we want to have that great revival, we say this all the time, if you want a revival, be a revival. But it's time to get excited. I remember Christmas morning, man, I was excited to see what my parents had got me. On my birthday,
on.
I was excited. There was anticipation there. When I went to open that box, I never thought there was going to be something that was going to hurt me in there. I never thought it was going to be something negative. I never thought it was going to be something to call me into something that was uncomfortable. It was going to be something good that my parents knew that I needed or wanted. And Jesus wants to do that same thing for each and every one of us. So, again, brother, I just wanted to throw that in there. I'm up in the big state of Ohio right now, and the wind is blowing pretty hard, so I hope you guys can hear me okay. But I do want to turn this back to you, Starla, and anybody else that's got any questions or comments on this message, please just let the brother know how much you appreciate it. If you got a question about his word, just feel free to ask it. So, Starla, I'm going to turn it back to you.
Thank you, Dad. Well, it's good to hear from you, Wild Bill. I sure do miss you when you're out there in the big wide world.
I definitely enjoyed his word, too. That was good.
Yes. I haven't gotten to hear him preach before, and he does a pretty good job.
All right.
Anyway, we have Blog Talk Mom, which is Bob Bill's mom.
Blog Talk
Mom, how you doing out there?
Thank you, Sister Starla and Bob Bill, for this program and Brother Rains. I'm right now, I plan on, as soon as the program is over, spending me some time with the Lord tonight. As most people would know, I'm 74 and going out to the inner city ministry that the Lord opened the door. I wanted to obey God. I didn't know what God was going to do, but he gave me a CD to do, and it's rap music, and just most unusual, but it has had unbelievable response. So today, the Lord had opened the door that I won't go in, just the door, and then a gentleman today, denominational church, asked me if I would come and speak to their youth and to their youth leader, and tell them, and I was a little puzzled somehow or other, but when you were teaching, I thought, wow, put your net on the other side. And don't do it like stumbling around. Expect a whole church to receive the truth. Why not? This is excellent. Every word that you have said went straight into my spirit. It is just excellent.
To God be the glory. Thank you so much.
One minister from Wabio would know it's Brother Looper came through our town, stopped at Dairy Queen, witnessed to a young man that was Jesus witnessed to him, and then called Sister Holland for someone to go back and follow through. So I was the only one available. So I went over there, and the young man came out. He came out, and I asked him if I could talk to him a minute. And he grabbed me and hugged me so hard. He said, I thought you had forgotten. I thought, he had talked to Brother Looper, but he thought since no one came right away that he had been forgotten. He said, I'm clean. Now I'm going to have a little baby. We're going to have a child in a few weeks. And he said, I want God. And I don't believe he's just an isolated fish. I believe, I tell you, this is good. I thank you so much. This wasn't just, every word out of your mouth, and the timing for me is excellent for tonight. And again, I just thank you and Wabiel and Sister Starler for this. Oh, and for the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God that is reaching lost people.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Woo,
glory to God. I mean, this is good, and I'm getting excited, so I'll just but do remember
that's
this all. Situation in prayer, if you will. It's I don't even know which church. It's I don't know, but I'm going to step out. You know, Peter didn't know everything. He obeyed. And if he'd obeyed with more faith and hope and love, like you said, what would have happened? And so that's what my desire is, to approach this now with more vision, you know, without that vision of what God is saying, that we can, you know, not really grasp the miracle. So, again, thank you very much.
Oh, well, thank you for the kind words, and to God be all the glory. But I definitely appreciate it, and I'll surely pray for everything you're involved with, and just cast them out, you know, because good grief, there's a world of people that would love to experience what we sometimes take for granted, and the devil tries to convince us they don't need it and they don't want it, but they need something, and they're looking, and we're either going to reach them with the truth or somebody else is going to reach them with a lie, and we've got to try to reach them however we can.
That's beautiful. And like you mentioned, Ida, at the very beginning of your sermon, we don't want them to look at us. I mean, we're not the perfect. We've been there and done that, sort of.
Yes, ma'am.
But if they can see the God that we serve and how he came and picked us up out of a horrible pit and brought us out, and then that will give them hope that it's the same God. And that's the message. This is so good. I could go on and on. So now I am going to be quiet, but do pray about these situations, and I will be able to give a good report.
All right. Looking forward to hearing it.
Well, we sure did enjoy your message tonight, and I have a question for you. I wondered how you got started the Upper Room Crusade. What got you involved in that, and how did you start it?
It was a couple of years ago. I had my license with the UPC for, I think, almost 3 years now. So it was a couple of years ago. I was really thinking about how I wanted to grow and do more ministerially wise. So I began to pray, and it was right about the beginning of the year, and I guess it was sometime in December of, I guess, 2012. And I really felt like God was directing me to start a ministry, you know, in the legal sense of the term, you know, like a 501c3. And I said, well, okay, Lord, I mean, I can do that. That's what you want me to do, but I don't really want it to be called Jared Raines Ministries. You know, that's to each their own. Certainly I'm not, you know, saying that's necessarily wrong, but I said, I don't feel that Holy Ghost assurance, so that's what I need to do. So I prayed about what God wanted me to call the ministry, and I fasted, and my stomach wished it would have happened a little sooner than it did, but God gave me the name of what he wanted, and Upper Room Crusades, and it's really perfect in the sense of it's from God, but the plan, the objective is to take the power of the upper room, the power that was given on the day of Pentecost, and take it out and crusade out in the world with it. And we've done some, you know, we've done some revival type stuff before. We've assisted with a tent revival, did some music for them, and we've done a few community outreach events, and we're trying to continue to grow in that regard. And it's been pretty successful so far, and we're just planning on continuing to see what God wants to do with it. And we don't want to just grow the church. We want to be the church, too. And sometimes you can you can love people. You know, people let you love them if you're willing, and that's what we're trying to do is just reach out and love folks and show them the love of God. So,
amen. Well,
yes,
ma'am. I'll be praying for you for sure.
Well, thank you for that. We definitely appreciate all the prayers.
Well, Wild Bill wanted me to thank all of our foreign listeners. We have a huge listening worldwide, and it is just awesome the feedback that we get. And we want to send a request for more songs and more speakers. And, Brother Jared, we would love to have you back if your time allowed. We really enjoyed this tonight. It was very timely for me also. It was great and inspiring.
Well, thank you very much for that kind word, too. And it would certainly, any time, it would be a very high honor to minister on here any time again. I would love to.
Well, we hope you have your ministry is successful and you are able to do exactly what God has planned for you. And God would richly bless your family and your new baby.
Thank you very much. We certainly appreciate that. He's been sleeping all day, so we're in for a night. I guarantee you.
You are. I promise.
Oh, well, the joys of fatherhood. He's definitely going to give me a lifetime of sermons, you know, because the moment I saw him, I knew, I was like, wow, there is so much I don't understand about God's love, because just looking at him one time, it's like there's nothing I wouldn't do for him. And how much more does God love us as his children? So,
amen.
So thankful for his love.
Yes. Well, we're about out of time. We want to thank everybody for listening tonight, and we want to thank Brother Jared Raines for being with us, and we'll see you back next week here at your place. Good night.
Lord bless.